What is jazz, and where does blues fit in? One of the world's greatest blues artists was not born in the early 20th century, nor did he grow up in the Mississippi Delta. He's Rick Fiennes, and his work was a major discovery of mine and will be of yours, even just hearing his music once. Rick was indeed influenced early on by the soulful lower Mississippi blues sound and delivers his own unique version of it, as if he was born there. Yet his own writing and delivery is definitely today. I'm Paul Kellogg. Please join us on the next Blue Nose Opera House radio show with unbelievable Rick Fiennes. Blue Nose Opera House. I'm Paul Kellogg, and Rick Fiennes, great blues man. And when you say blues, well, Peterborough is the center of blues. How do you put it?
Oh, I jokingly say home of the blues, when, of course, Peterborough doesn't have much to do with blues music traditionally at all.
I know a lot of your blues roots go back to early days, but you are one of the great blues artists in the world today. I'm not talking about Peterborough. I'm not talking about Ontario, Canada. I'm talking about the world. So as you blush and want to choke me for that, and this song is from Rick Fiennes and Friends at the Harvest, I believe. It's a song called I'm in the Mood. What was the inspiration for that? I know it was co-written by John Lee Hooker, but you found it how?
It was on an old blues compilation, one that I bought quite early on in my purchasing of blues albums, and I just loved it and started playing it. I hadn't heard it again for a long time until Bonnie Raitt covered it.
Now any time I see a baby and you're walking down the street, do I get a thrill from my head down to my toes? Now I'm in the mood. Baby, I'm in the mood. I'm in the mood. Oh, well, you know, I like a baby, and I just can't help myself. can't get satisfaction unless I am with you. Now I'm in the moon. Now, baby, I'm in the mood. I'm in the moon now, baby. I'm in the moon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Rick Fiennes. I love the live sound of that, too, with a great John Lee Hooker song. And you were saying that what she was doing, that...
You know, it was one of those albums where John Lee had a bunch of guests on it, and it was him and Bonnie Raitt doing that. That's where I heard it again after so many years.
Early family life, growing up in Peterborough. If you can describe the atmosphere at home, and you mentioned hearing music... And you put together a crystal set or a transistor radio set and strung the wire out to the tree. Your mother, did she have a favorite kind of music that she listened to?
My mother liked everything. But she'd play Nat King Cole and Ray Charles, and she'd play Ella Fitzgerald. My brothers turned her on to Billie Holiday, and... when she heard Joe Cocker, one of my brother's albums, and she said, he's trying to sound like Ray Charles. And she would play, you know, Joe Cocker albums, Beatles albums. My mom loved everything.
Are there things that all of a sudden hit you when you think about early family life and or incidents that come back to you? Do you live much in the past?
Well, more so now. My mom just passed away a little while ago, so... So I go through a lot of thinking of that. I was left the old family gramophone. So that was something that, we always pulled out at Christmas time and listened to the old 78s the same way Mom did, all her life. And I still do it now in my family.
You say that one of your sibs is a musician. Do you get together much with sibs, holidays, family?
Yes, we do. It was, it happened perhaps a little bit more when Mom was around. But for holidays, we get together. My brother, as I mentioned, always comes and does a guest spot on my albums. He's just a wonderful musician.
Was there any one of you who happened to be not necessarily a favorite, but closest to your mom?
You know, I don't know if a person could answer that objectively. I think, in my world, that would be me. But perhaps maybe my brother Matthew, who plays music with me, perhaps as well.
Sometimes it's just not favoring anyone, but sometimes it's just easier for people to talk, whether they're families, friends, neighbors. It's just kind of a natural flow or a silent understanding between people. That's why I asked that.
Well, also my oldest brother, Grant, lived in the same town that my mother lived in during the last part of her life. Mm-hmm. So, of course, they spent a lot more time together.
Yeah. Bonnie Raitt is one of your favorite artists, and we couldn't get the song that you wanted, but I chose Slow Ride. I hope I'm not stepping on your toes with that, but I thought it might be the kind of thing you'd enjoy.
Feels like nothing happens fast enough. Well, maybe I just want too much. But when something's wrong between us, baby, nothing feels right.
Bonnie Raitt and her dad, who was a famous Broadway and Hollywood singer, actor, once said that it's funny how the tables switch, because people would say, "Oh, Bonnie, your dad is John Raitt." And he said, "Now people come up to me and say, oh, you're Bonnie Raitt's father." And that may happen to Rick Fiennes when we see which direction Claire is going to be going into.
Near Sydney, Lewisburg, Marion Bridge, or Glace Bay? Or rolling along Reserve Mines Road, Highway 4, Highway 28, or 255, you're connected to the coast, 89.7 Community Radio, Glace Bay, carrying the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
Blue Nose Opera House, I'm Paul Kellogg. Rick Fiennes, our guest co-host. We don't treat people as interviewees. We don't go for the jugular. We just have a kitchen chat. Not too long ago, you became a proud papa. And people don't realize it when they run into musicians, listen to the music, catch them at a stage, an event, that there are many facets to their life, just as there are to anyone else's, and the different roles that they play and things that they have going on in their lives. And so we're going to talk about Claire, maybe the kind of changes that brought into your life, and delightful changes too. Quite a gift. But right now, let's listen to someone you're very fond of. We're not talking about Claire, because I don't think she's recorded anything yet, unless you're sneaking something around we don't know about. But from Rick Fiennes and Friends at the Harvest, this is Susie Vinnick and a song that Rick wrote called "He'll Never Know."
I love somebody he'll never know. He'll never know.
Somebody he'll never.
blues can be wicked, and if you want somebody to deliver it that way, Susie Vinnick. When you go to the well to write, and the bucket drops down, and you pull it up, sometimes full, maybe sometimes not so full. When it's full, I guess something comes easy, and other times you may have to put it aside. I don't know, I'm just throwing something at you. Gordon Lightfoot once said that he carries around a pad with him, even in the car, because he said, you're going to lose the idea if you don't write it down immediately. You think you'll remember it because it hits you and you like it. But he said an hour or the next day or after you wake up may not be so. Do you do that?
Not only that, but I need to actually record it. So, these days you can just pull out your phone and record it onto the phone. But I've always carried a tape recorder for years now, because when you get an idea, it's sometimes not just a lyrical idea. Sometimes it's a musical idea, and you can't count on it being there either. And sometimes the lyric scrawled on a piece of paper without the music behind it doesn't sound quite right. But when you've got the idea of the lyric and you've got the sound of the music, then even if you need to tweak the lyric later, you're heading down the right road.
Years ago, I had a lyric come to me, and the tune almost, and it was something like, I never had the blues before, never thought I'd lose before. Mm-hmm. You want to take that somewhere? Never mind.
Well, you threw it out there now. It's out in the public domain now.
No. I threw it out to you. You can do what you want with it. Proud Papa, how has becoming a daddy changed your life?
I know
it's something that you just so wanted.
It's the greatest joy. My little girl's just a spark in our lives, and Lise and I are so happy about her, and we have a wonderful time. I love spending more time at home and more family time, because little girl deserves that.
Is it corny to say that the most important role you'll ever have in life is not the music and not the record sales and not the writing, but being a daddy?
Oh, for sure. I think there's no question about that.
Yeah, I'm doing this upside down. How did you meet Lise?
I met Lise 7 years before we ever dated. I met her when she was just a beginning university.
And 7 years before, you're a slow burner, Rick.
Well, I was already seeing somebody at the time, and she happens that she needed to get to the bus, and she came running into the bar where I regularly play, and because some creep had been following her, and she didn't say anything, and the server at the time walked over to her and said, "Are you all right? Can I get you something? You don't want anything? And are you all right? What are you doing here?" And she said, "I got to get to the bus. I got to get out to my residence, and I don't know what to do." And so I walked over and I said, "I'll walk you over to the bus." And Bev says, "You go. He's a good boy."
So you just left your guitar there, and you dropped the gig, and you said, "This is more important."
Well, I was on a break, and I just walked her over to the bus, and that was that. We became friends, and 7 years later, we were finally both single, and that was that. That was that. I said, "What are we going to do about this long-standing attraction we've had for each other?"
And one of your songs you have yet to write is called Extraction. Riley Wants His Life Back is a song I know you love to do live because it's got some great lines in it for the audience to play with you. From what does this spring?
Oh, it's a little humor, you know, and it's so it comes from two things. It comes from the fact that I was writing a bunch of songs for my trio, based on the great trios of the 1940s, 1930s and 40s, a music I love dearly. And then my buddy Alec called me up. He had been leaving messages. This is in the days before cell phones. Before cell phones for me in my life, anyway. Mm-hmm. And he said, "What are you doing? I've been trying to reach you." I said, "I'm at the cabin." He said, "Well, we got to get to work. Riley wants his life back." And so he gave me the title, and I said, "Oh, that's good." And he said, "Well, you're going to have it. Let's get to work." So anyway, I sat down and wrote the song.
Riley wants his life back. 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 Well, I just picked up the phone halfway. This is what the
party on the phone had to say, Mr. Fine, your services are no longer required. You've done a fine job, it's not a case of being fired. But the boss is coming home and he's back on track, and Mr. Riley's going to want to have his life back. Riley wants his life back. Riley wants his life back. Yes, he'd sincerely like to thank you for taking up the slack, but he's coming home now and he wants his life back. All this started several months ago. I didn't have a job and I'd been running out of dough. I met this guy Riley I'd never seen before. He said he needed someone to mind the store. He said by minding the store, what I mean to say is to take care of my affairs while I'm away. I've got a maid for the housework, a gardener for the garden, and I really must be running now if you'll beg my pardon. But he showed me the way and he tossed me the keys. Since then I've been living the life of ease. But now with this news I'm having anxiety attacks, 'cause Riley's coming home and he wants his life back. Riley wants his life back. Riley wants his life back. Yes, I had his job, but now I'm getting sad, 'cause Riley's coming home and he wants his life back. Got in the door and saw he'd left a note. I sat myself down just to read what he wrote. He said there are certain social functions where I'm expected to be, and I'm gonna be needing you to sub in for me. We've got billiards every Wednesday, the third door on the right. We golf most afternoons, then it's off to the clubhouse at night. Seems what he had in mind, seems what he needed done, was a bunch of hanging out with his buddies and having lots of fun. Not just when I'm getting used to caviar and fine cognac. Riley's coming home and he wants his life back. Riley 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 wants his life back. The life of Riley, let me tell you, it was a buzz. I just sat around writing poems about how good life was. Had a big house and pool, all very private. I had a great big long car, I needed some sucker to drive it. Booze and food and money, not a thing did I lack. But now Riley's coming home and he wants his life back. Riley 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 wants his life back.
Rick Vines. Audiences love that everywhere. It just doesn't date. It's ageless. Riley wants his life back.
You can't find a better blend of music, public service, the voices of your neighbors than you'll find on The Coast, 89.7 Glace Bay. It's community radio at its best, operated by and for you and your neighbors, and where you're also part of the kitchen party, here on Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
We are rolling. Rick Vines, front and center on the Blue Nose Opera House. You asked for Louis Armstrong, and this is something just a little bit different. We'll take you down to New Orleans, really get into that flavor. It's hard to find a song that'll do it more than this one called King of the Zulus.
Here's a song we did that was all about one of the big events of the year in my hometown, the Zulu Parade in Mardi Gras week. We dedicated this tune to the man that was elected king of the parade that year. But it wasn't until 1949, 23 years after I made this record, that they elected Satchmo to be the king of the Zulus. That West Indian accent you will hear near the beginning is our trombonist, Trummy Young.
Interrupting my chitlin' rag.
Man, I'm just here from Jamaica, and I don't mean to interrupt the party, but one of me countrymen tell me there's a chitlin' rag going on here. Man, fix me one of those things you call chitlin', but I call them in a tube, and I play one of me native jazz tune.
Coming up, man, one order of chitlin'.
King of the Zulu, something just a little bit different. And I was intrigued by the songwriter, Lil, L-I-L, Armstrong. And by the way, that's from an uncommon, maybe somewhat rare, two-CD set, Louis Armstrong, The Decca Years. One of the CDs has a number of duets on it, including with people like Bing Crosby.
Oh, okay.
So fun to explore. You sent me into that area when you asked for Louis Armstrong, so you gave me something to back. Not to make it music 101, to get into blues, and for the audience, does blues have to have, and I have to be careful when I say this, but does it have to have generally a black sound?
I believe that blues music exists in the wider frame, but the blues that is music is based on now already existed a long time ago. And I think, yes, it's a black music. It's an African-American music from the Deep South. And everything from that has been growing and changing. And yet that's the well that you come back to.
Is that what people like Alan Freed in the early days of rock and roll would call race music as it was moving toward a different kind of beat?
Well, that's what the record companies labeled it until, what was it, 1958, before it changed to rhythm and blues.
Mm-hmm.
But the chart was actually race records.
Bridges are interesting, whether you're talking about Celtic rock, fusion music today. We're talking earlier about Lenny Gallant. It's hard to categorize people, and it's unfair. It's like stereotyping women, for example. Is Lenny a country artist? Is he a balladeer? Is he a folk singer when he writes some serious tunes or about the fishery? So I guess it's not fair to categorize somebody simply as saying that they're a rock and roller or they're a blues artist. Last night, the Sojourners were talking about Curtis Mayfield and how he bridged gospel and blues, how much they admired that, and blues and pop and that merging of the two genres and the British invasion that you talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how you can basically, it's like jazz. Is blues part of jazz? You have this umbrella of a type of music and then different versions of it underneath. The boundaries, even today, seem to be more blurred. And that's a healthy thing.
I think it is. And yet people still need labels. So I would, on one hand, I would argue that I'm not a blues artist, that I'm a blues-influenced artist. On the other side of things, I would say that why don't we start all calling it blues, because it owes a lot more to blues than it owes to some of these other contemporary categories we've come up with.
So we've got some music coming up, and it's one you asked for, and I was wondering why. Bob Dylan, and this is the quick title is Jack of Hearts, but it's Lily Rosemary and the Jack of Hearts.
Oh, you know, when you asked me for a bunch of songs, I thought to myself, I'll put them down, and tomorrow they'll all be different. So I might as well just put them down, whatever I'm thinking of. And Blood on the Tracks is one of those Bob Dylan albums that stays in my car. I switch the CDs around, and it never comes out. So that's why.
The festival was over, and the boys were all planning for a ball. The cabaret was quiet, except for the drilling in the wall. The curfew had been lifted and the gambling wheel shut down. Anyone with any sense had already left town. He was standing in the doorway, looking like the Jack of Hearts. He moved across the mirrored room, sitting up for everyone, he said. Then everyone commenced to do what they were doing before he turned their heads. And he walked up to a stranger and he asked him with a grin, could you kindly tell me, friend, what time the show begins? Then he moved into the corner, face down like the Jack of Hearts. Backstage the girls were playing five cards, stood by the stairs. Lily had two queens, she was hoping for a third to match her pair. Outside the streets were filling up, the window was open wide. A gentle breeze was blowing, you could feel it from inside. Lily called another bet and drew up the Jack of Hearts. In the darkness by the riverbed, they waited on the ground for one more member. Jack of Hearts. The next day was hanging day. The sky was overcast and black. Big Jim lay covered up, killed by a penknife in the back. And Rosemary on the gallows, she didn't even blink. The hanging judge was sober, he hadn't had a drink. The only person on the scene missing was the jack of hearts. Cabaret was empty now, a sign said closed for repair. Lily had already taken all of the dye out of her hair. She was thinking about her father, who she very rarely saw. Thinking about Rosemary and thinking about the law. But most of all, she was thinking about the jack of hearts.
Great Bob Zimmerman, Dylan, Rosemary, Lily, Rosemary, and the Jack of Hearts.
Producer David Findlay, webmaster David Friendly, and regular host Paul Kellogg are proud to be connected to one of the great Nova Scotia community radio stations, The Coast, 89.7 Glace Bay. We're on the home stretch here on the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
Blue Nose Opera House, Rick Fiennes. And Rick, we just finished with Bob Dylan. I wanted to say you can't categorize him because people say, well, he's a folk artist, but then he got into folk rock and then country, really.
Oh, and he's got such great blues in his last number of albums especially, but earlier on too. Blues was always a big part of what Bob Dylan was. I got a funny story. You were asking about my daughter. I got to tell you, we walked out of the house the other day and she said, "Cicada, Daddy." I said, "What's cicada?" And she said, "Cicada, Daddy." And I listened, and sure enough, there was a cicada, up in a tree somewhere. And we got into the car, and we're backing out. And she says, "It's Bob, Dad. It's Bob, Daddy." And I looked around. I said, "Where's Bob?" She says, "It's Bob Dylan, Daddy." She's 2 years old. She just turned two. She recognized Bob Dylan when the radio came on.
You're in trouble. You're more in trouble. And you're allowed to kick my shins. You're close enough because I'm going to tell a story about you. You were doing a Lightfoot tribute at Hugh's Room, 200-seat venue in Toronto. And I don't know if a lot of the people knew who you were at that point. And different artists only allowed to do two songs. And you stepped up to the microphone and you started this particular song. You could hear a pin drop. And I don't know if you could catch it where you were. But I knew from maybe the second bar that you owned that room. It did not change, not mentioning the other artists who followed you, didn't change for the rest of the evening. And the audience was bowled over, and there is nobody, including Lightfoot, who does this song like you do. And it's the classic Ribbon of Darkness.
Ribbon of darkness over me, since my true love walked out the door. Tears I never had before. A ribbon of darkness over me. The clouds are gathering o'er my head. Steal the day and hide the sun, and shroud the night when day is done. A ribbon of darkness over me. Rain's falling on a meadow. Well, once my loving eye did lie, but Now she's gone from the meadow. My love, goodbye. A ribbon of darkness over me. Where once the world was as young as spring, where flowers did bloom and birds did sing, a ribbon of darkness over me. How I wish your heart could see how mine just aches and breaks all day. Well, come on home and take it away. This ribbon darkness, oh. Yes, come on home and take it away. This ribbon of darkness over me.
To brag, but as a media person, you try to get out to catch and see as much as you can, and there maybe a half dozen times in my life where the hair stood up on the back of my neck, and it was Fiennes doing that, Hughes from Lightfoot's Ribbon of Darkness. I hope he, do you know if he's heard that version of it?
Yeah, he came down to a couple of those shows at Hughes Room, mm-hmm. and did hear it.
Amazing, nothing like it. And you said it's sparse, but it is, and that's the beauty of it too. It doesn't need any embellishment. You had heartbreak in your life. And I don't know if you write from there or whether it's a mixture. You've also had some wonderful highlights, including meeting your sweetheart.
Yeah, I think, you know, that when you have the difficult times, that's when you're drawn to express yourself more often. So it's more often that you're going to explore the dark side than the light side. And I think because of that, I purposely try to explore the light side whenever I feel I can work it into a song, because otherwise I'd be making depressing albums. But that's what music does for us. It moves us through these things and lets us express them. And I think even as a listener, I mean, I listen to music that moves me that way or lets me feel the pain that I'm going through, and it helps me release it.
You're a teacher. You like to teach.
I do. I like going in schools.
And the woodshed, am I calling it, is that its name, or are you just going out to the woods, to the shed?
Oh, I have a little cabin in the woods, and there is a woodshed close by full of wood to keep the cabin warm. It's a little cabin. There are no hydro lines around, so I put up some solar panels, and it's a little self-sufficient cabin.
Reason why this is an interview program is because we swap stories. So I'm going to tell one out of school about you.
All right.
You came to another place in Toronto called the Victory Cafe, place I was involved in. And I think it was winter. You and Lise came. And I introduced you, and I sat down. I invited a bunch of friends. And in that room, the friend was sitting next to me. And I couldn't see. It was pretty dark. I couldn't see someone that he'd brought. And that person leaned over to me after you'd done a couple of songs and said, "Holy smokes, this guy's getting something out of a guitar I have never heard nor seen before." And that person's name was Raffi, children's singer. And I've told that story many times to musicians and to audience a few times. And it's a wonderful story about your ability, not just as a blues singer, but what's coming up in your life.
I'm working on a new album. I'm very excited about it. It's actually nearing completion. And that's pretty exciting for me. So I've got tours planned already out to the West Coast, and as soon as I get back from the East Coast, I'll be turning around and coming back out to New Brunswick. So touring, recording, releasing albums.
I don't know if this is correct as a story, but I believe that this woman was in a hotel room, might have been the last hotel room or place at night where Bessie Smith stayed before passing on. And she turned out she was in the same hotel room as Smith, and there was a raging storm outside, lightning and thunder, and she couldn't sleep, so she got up and wrote this song called Miss Bessie's Blues. So it's got the spirit, it's got the mood, and it was written by, performed by, and I want to give it to you as you hit the road, Cat Dancer.
Lightning strikes inside my head, thunder rolls me around in bed, wakes me from the living dead, and nothing makes me feel the blues like Miss Bessie do. Nowhere to go, nowhere to stay. I'm all in, no more cards to play. Cover my tracks from yesterday. Nothing makes me feel the blues like Miss Bessie do. Saddest sounds as scenes of you twirl round and round, spun until my groove wore down, and nothing makes me feel the blues like Miss Bessie do. Nothing makes me feel the blues like Miss Bessie do. Nothing makes me feel the blues like Miss Bessie do.
Got a rhythm to it too, whether you're in a hotel room and the curtains are just moving by the cracked window that's up a little bit and the breeze blowing it around, or the windshield wipers when you're out on the highway late at night. to that beat, and that's Cat Dancer, Miss Bessie's Blues. That's
beautiful.
A road song for no one else in the world but Lise, Claire, and Rick Fiennes. Been too long, but I'm glad we've finally done it, Rick.
Good to see you again, Paul.
You too, and always, always good to encounter you and your great music. Joe Seeley behind us, Song of Hope, as we slide out of here, and a huge thank you to Rick Fiennes. An audience, for you too, for dropping by. We'll be looking for you in 6 days, 22 hours, and 5 minutes. Greetings to all our new listeners in Atlanta, Canada, Ontario, and around the world on the web via the East Coast Kitchen Party. Plus our friends running NPR and American Public Media in South Florida. Hello, hello. I'm Paul Kellogg, along with Rick Fiennes, saying a special hello to all our ships at sea and Cape Islanders inshore. Be home soon. Good night, and good day.